I want to talk about hearing from God. Because, well, we'll get into that a little later. But I found this illustration. It's kind of funny. It says, a man decided his wife was getting hard of hearing, so he called her doctor to make an appointment to have her hearing checked. The doctor said he could see her in 2 weeks, but meanwhile, there was a simple, informal test the husband could do to give the doctor some idea of the dimensions of the problem. Here's what you do, he said. Stand about 40 feet away from her and speak in a normal conversational tone and see if she hears you. If not, go to 30, then 20, and so on until you get a response. That evening, his wife is in the kitchen cooking dinner, and he's in the living room, and he says to himself, I'm about 40 feet away. Let's see what happens. Honey, what's for supper? No response. So he moves to the other end of the room, about 30 feet away. Honey, what's for supper? No response. So he moves to the dining room, about 20 feet away. Honey, what's for supper? No response. On to the kitchen door, only 10 feet away. Honey, what's for supper? No response. So he walks up right behind her. Honey, what's for supper? She turns around and says, for the fifth time, it's chicken. Illustration was really funny because she called her doctor to say she had a hearing problem. And here all along, it's him that has a hearing problem, right? Because he can't hear her response. She's obviously told him 5 times, hey, it's chicken, it's chicken. And he's like, yeah, you know, she's not listening to me. But it's really, he's not listening to her because he can't hear her. But isn't that the way it is sometimes in our lives? We're either deaf to what's really going on around us, or we like to blame other people for our own problems or something. You know, we're not listening, or something has happened, and so we're like, yeah, but it was because of this person over here. You know, that husband, he was the deaf one, but he's like, yeah, it's definitely my wife, not me. Sometimes we have selective hearing. Men, you know about that, right? I mean, I know my husband does. Love you. They only hear what they want to hear. Now, I can say that he has selective hearing because I'll say something to him and then he says, I never heard you. Well, yeah, I mean, you were only standing 10 feet away from me, but you just were not listening. Right? or I'll tell him something and he doesn't agree with what I tell him, and so then he goes off to a friend, and his friend tells him, and he's like, oh, hey, by the way, do you like this idea? Yeah, I'm glad I told you that in the first place. See, it's selective hearing. And you see, we do it when we want to. And now I'm not saying it's only Ryan, I do it too, because there's times where he's talking, and I'm like, wait, what did you just say? I was over here somewhere. So we all do it. We all have this selective hearing that sometimes we don't hear or think we're hearing or we don't listen in the way that we should listen. Our attention is somewhere else. You know, like I said, you're talking to someone and you ask them a question and they give you like a one-word answer like, yeah, uh-huh. And you're like, but you didn't even hear the question, did you? And you're like, no, I didn't really hear it. I was kind of off in space somewhere. You know, and I feel like that happens with God as well. You know, that God is talking to you and God's saying, are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening? And you're like, oh, wait, what? I only heard half the conversation. And God says, come on, give me your attention. I want your full, undivided attention on what I'm trying to tell you. And we're saying, yeah, but I'm off here in left field thinking about something else. And God says, in left field. Maybe he's telling you, I need you in right field. But we're not listening. Now, I don't know how many of you follow the news, and I don't really... I used to watch the news, but it's so depressing anymore that I just don't care to watch it too much anymore. But I saw on the news, because it caught my eye when I turned on my computer and I was getting on the internet to do some research, and the news pops up, and it caught my eye this week. Because I don't watch my disclaimer is I don't watch this show, so I have no idea what happened on this show, but I just read about it. But there's a woman, and maybe you guys have seen it this week. Her name is Joy Behar, I think is how you say her last name. But she's on The View. Now, I can't stand that talk show. But she's on The View, and this week, if you haven't heard, she slammed our Vice President, Mike Pence, because of his Christian faith. Because Mike Pence says that he hears Jesus talking to him. And Joy goes on to say that if you can talk to Jesus, but if you hear the voice of God talking back to you, that's a mental illness. So then, yesterday, I was doing some more research about what she said and that kind of stuff, and just looking at it, and I had to call Ryan into the room there to my desk, because here was a video of Joy on The View, and Whoopi Goldberg had an itinerary that ABC had given to her to go over to backpedal what they said. Because now the Christians were offended and people were not happy with her, and they were, you know, fighting back and all of this. And she comes back and she says, "I didn't really mean it. It was just a joke." Then, and I told Ryan, I said, I can't judge where she is in her faith. I can't, because that's between her and God. But what she displays tells me she doesn't really have any faith in God. But then she goes on and she says, in her backpedaling conversation, she says, if I was offending Christians, if I was talking and saying that there was a mental illness with Christians, well, then I would be talking about myself and my daughter and all of these other people that she named. And then she proceeds to go on and she says, I love Christians. She says, I give money to Christians and I help them out. I give money to the church. There are a lot of people that give money to the church. That doesn't mean that you are a Christian. Now, as again, I can't make a judgment as to the depth of her relationship, but what she portrays is that her relationship is on the top level. She doesn't have any roots in Christianity. Nowhere in her backpedaling did she ever say that she had heard the voice of God. She said in her backpedaling to try to make it and smooth it all over was, I like Christians. But that doesn't mean that she still doesn't think that Mike Pence has a mental illness. I talked about this week because a lot of Christians, and I've heard it from other Christians as well. I've heard it from my own husband, who will say to me, don't think I'm crazy, but I heard God's voice tell me. I don't think you're crazy. Because you want to know why I don't think you're crazy? Because our God is not dead. And if our God is not dead, then he is alive. Then it would be like talking to you and I, right? And if I can talk to him the way that I can talk to you, then I can most certainly hear his voice. Amen. Sometimes his voice gets a little confused in my head. Because why? Because there's so many other voices that are trying to get your attention as well. See, because when you read your scriptures, when you read your Bible and you open it up, what does it tell you? That Satan is there every step of the way, right? He's trying to attack you and destroy you and tear you down. And therefore, the voice in your head is also the voice of Satan, because he's trying to tear you down. I distinguish between right and wrong, what is in the scriptures and what is not. Joy can say what she wants to say about Christianity and a mental illness. And if talking to God is a mental illness, then I am glad to have it.
Amen. Yes.
It has helped me through so much. without God and God's voice, do you realize how lost you would be? We're going to look at our scripture today, and it's John 10, 22 through 30. It says, then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter. It is here too. And Jesus was in the temple area walking in solemn colonnade. The Jews gathered around him saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And I and the Father are one. Now you see, this is Jesus telling the Jews who should believe in him that he is the Messiah. He's telling them, my Father and I are one. He's telling them plainly. Didn't they ask for it? And he's telling them that my Father and I are one. And then as I was thinking about Joy this week and what she said and going over this and thinking what is the best scripture that we can look at, and I come to this and it says, I tell you, but you do not believe that he is the Messiah. He tells them, he tells you and I this morning that he is the Messiah, but you and I believe, right? I mean, I hope so. That's why we're here. But there are others who he has told over and over, and if there is any part of that lady that knows Jesus, then she is like these Jews. If he has told her that he is the Messiah, that means he has spoken to her. Listen. Doesn't believe. You see, because then he goes on and he says that he tells them this, and he says, the miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. We this morning are a sheep. It's over there bad. We are sheep this morning, folks. And you are a sheep who has a shepherd that never leaves you. A shepherd that protects you, that guides you. And the scriptures, if we go back to the scriptures and we look at the parable that Jesus talked about, and there was 100 sheep and 99 of them were here and the one was lost, what did he say happens? He goes and finds that one, doesn't he? We're not lost anymore. Because then Jesus goes on and he says to them, my sheep listen to my voice. If it was a mental illness that we had, that Jesus talked to us, then Jesus himself was mentally ill because he said, my sheep listen to my voice. I don't believe that any of us have a mental illness, just to clarify that. Because if we are truly children of God and we are truly saved by Jesus, then we hear and we know his voice this morning. Some of you may be sitting there and you may say, but I never hear the voice of God. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a thought, idea where it came from, but it led you to where you needed to go, or it led you to someone that needed help, or it led you to getting the answer that you needed, that you've been praying for, or something, and you're like, where did that come from? How did that happen? That is the voice of God that is guiding and directing you, and unfortunately, sometimes we can't hear it. For the still, small voice of God. Or we write it off because guess what? The voice of God sometimes sounds like our own, doesn't it? You know, we look back at Moses and all of them and they had the big booming voice of God and we don't have that. Now, there are some that I have heard that they say, I was going to end my life and all of a sudden I hear this voice and you know, it is a booming voice and sometimes God does get our attention like that. We are not crazy to know that we have a Savior that talks to us. When someone comes to me and they tell me, don't think I'm crazy, but I heard God's voice, I say, I don't think you're crazy. I hear God's voice. And I don't think you're crazy because God tells us that he talks to us. Because if we don't know the voice of God, then how are we to follow him, right? You know, those movies or cartoons or whatever where you've got the little red guy over here and the little white guy over here, right? Just imagine taking the little red guy and pinging him off. That's what I always imagine when I see those on the cartoons or the movies. But anyways, you've got these two voices that are constantly right here. And now we don't have a little red guy sitting here and a little white guy sitting here, but there is a spiritual battle constantly for you in a realm that we can't even see. Constantly to make sure that we know the shepherd's voice, that we're paying attention to it. Because if we do, then we follow the right voice. Because that's what Jesus said. But then he goes on and he says, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. So there's our promise, folks. That if we are being sheep and we are following our shepherd, then we have eternal life and we will never perish. And that is a promise that you can hold on to. Why? Because any promise that you have, God's not going to go back on. And he gives you that promise. And then he goes on and he says, no one can snatch them out of my hand. Do you understand that if you are in Christ Jesus and you are listening to the voice of Jesus, that if you are making sure that you are staying within it, that Satan cannot snatch you? Now you say, well, yeah, he can because, you know, he comes along and he's... But those are the people that are not staying connected to God the way they should. There are a lot of saints that have gone on before us who have stayed connected. And yeah, sure, they've been tempted because Satan tempts everybody. But giving in to the temptation is the battle, right? Look at all of the ones. Noah and Moses and Abraham and Paul and the disciples. All of them were tormented and fun of. I always go back to Noah because the poor man stood alone. God came to him and God gave him directions on how to build an ark. And now Ryan and I, we went and saw this ark down in Kentucky. And let me tell you what, if Noah was in my day and he was building this thing, I could see why people kind of made fun of him because, I mean, this thing is huge. And these people are like, it hasn't rained in forever and a day, and you're building this big ark because you say it's going to rain? I don't hardly think so. But Noah, he's standing alone besides his family, and he's building this ark, and he's hearing the voice of God telling him how to, and all around him, they're making jealous that they're making fun, but I can imagine they are. They're making fun of him. They're telling him he's crazy. He's telling people, you know, get on the boat and follow me and God's going to flood the earth. And they're like, I don't even think so. Noah, his wife, his three sons and their wives are the only ones that are following the word of God. You see, Noah, he could have given up, right? Because all around him are voices that tell him he's crazy, that there is no way that God is going to flood the earth. There's no way that the earth is going to get flooded. It hasn't rained. It's not going to rain. There's no rain in the forecast. And yet, here's Noah building this thing. And Noah could have said, you know what? You guys are right. I don't know why God told me to do this. And he could have abandoned the project. But God, and he knew that God was righteous and that God was right. And he listened to the voice. You see, you and I, we've got a lot of voices all around us, right? A lot of things that tell us that we're crazy. I mean, we could listen to Joy and think, are we really crazy? I mean, does God really talk to us? And we could listen to all these other voices that we want to listen to. But you and I need to only listen to one voice. All the others we need to ignore. sometimes a little harder, isn't it? To ignore all those voices. But when you have voices that you know are not of God's, that you do not recognize, you need to shut them off. Go away. You see, our God is not dead. And I wouldn't make it through half the things we do. I've said it many times, but I look out over this congregation and I see so many people who have fought so many things, either physically, emotionally, or mentally, and they have won. Why have you won? Because you have Jesus. And those who have fought and those who have lost the physical battle of this world, they have still won because they know Jesus. Not here, but I'm going to use her anyway. Jean, you can tell her I used her. But I went down to see Nancy Wednesday before church because there was really nothing I could do but offer prayer and offer talking. She says to me again, after finding out that there's lesions on the brain, she says, it's okay. Because even if I leave this world, I know where I'm going. So I celebrated that and I told her, I said, you know, Nancy, I said, we would miss you if something would happen to you, but at the same time, the church would rise up and celebrate because she is gone home. And she said to me, I can't remember if it was then or if I was talking to her on the phone, but she said to me, she says, it's okay because I'll go home. And I said, yeah, you'll be healed. And she goes, yeah, I won't have to carry this bag anymore. But here's a woman who is doing great suffering right now. Her faith is still so strong. Why? Because she knows that her God is alive. She knows that her Savior reigns on the throne. She knows that no matter what happens, that she's going to be okay. The voice of God tells us that every day. I look around for those of you who are suffering with cancers or physical problems, and I don't think that there's anybody that I have talked to that is wavering in their faith, because God is good, right? And we know that.
Yes, amen.
And when we hear people tell us that we are mentally ill or whatever, what is wrong with them? Because that was my first thought. What is wrong with her? And I stop and think, the problem is she doesn't know God the way we do. She is the Jews right here who are asking Jesus to plainly tell us who you are, and he plainly tells them who he is. And then, I didn't put it on here, but then what happens in the next part of that? It says, again, so it already happened once. Again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. Jesus plainly tells them that he is the Messiah. Guess what? Those Jews don't really care that he's the Messiah. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to catch him in a lie. They don't really want to know who he is. They picked up the stones to stone him. And Jesus says to them, I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? And they said, we are not stoning you for any of these, replied the Jews, but for blasphemy, because you are a mere man claiming to be God. You see, that's the people who do not understand who Jesus is. All they want to do is throw stones at him because they claim that he is a mere man and not God. You and I know this morning that he is much more than that, right?
Amen.
People like Joy and many others, they are these Jews. They want to cast stones and they want to get God out of here. They don't want anything to do with him because he's just a mere mythical figure that walked the earth and that doesn't really matter and that doesn't really
have the powers that we as Christians claim.
You and I, we look at our scriptures.
We look at the promises, right? Realize that those promises are applied to our lives. You and I would never make it through the things we do, right? God was not real. My whole sermon this morning, if you want to take away, but what I really want you to take away is don't ever think you're crazy when you hear the voice. You come to me or you come to anybody else and you say, you know what, I think it's crazy, but and you might think I'm crazy, but I heard God tell me, I'm going to stop you right there because I don't want to hear that. I want you to tell me, come up excitedly and tell me, guess what? Last night I was struggling. Last night I was suffering. Last night I was praying or doing this or doing that. And I was praying that God would talk to me, and he did. I don't want to hear that you think you're crazy, because that means that you think there's something wrong with hearing the voice of God. And Jesus plainly tells us in his word, he talks to us. And he knows us. And if his sheep know him, then they know his voice. Amen. Never think that God can't talk to you. But in fact, tell everybody, God talked to me. God spoke to me. God communicates with me every day. Let him know. Our God's alive. And he talks. And he walks with us every day. That's the God we serve. Will you stand as we sing our last hymn?